This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
Well, offices across the country are nearly empty today as we all try to work from home while also keeping our kids focused on e-learning. But I gotta say, I think Chip's taken this whole social distancing thing a bit too far.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll talk with Greg Peterson, that's Machinery Pete. Then it's on to Representative Sam Graves from Missouri. And in the final segment, Stephanie C. from AEM. And right after the news, Michael Clark from BAMWX swings by for a weather update. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, in for the vacationing Chip Flory, Farm Journal's own news overlord, John Harris.
Good morning, Davis. John. Hey, good morning to you, too. Is it true that Chip has gone to a cabin in the woods to just get away from everything?
I'm not allowed to say where Chip is right now. He wouldn't let me say.
He's at an undisclosed location, huh?
He is. As near as I can tell, he's got plenty of fresh seafood and adult beverages and relaxing scenery in his proximity. That's all I know.
Seafood, huh? Not steaks.
I'm sure there will be steaks, but okay. Yes.
All right. Well, how are you doing, Davis? You, like many of us, dealing with the homeschooling issues this week and trying to figure out how we get along. I guess the CDC now says 8 weeks with everybody at home, working from home, and keeping the kids busy.
That's right. Well, and, you know, I have to admit, we did go out and do just a little bit of extra grocery shopping on Saturday night ahead of this anticipated sort of shutdown.
So you bought all the toilet paper.
We had purchased toilet paper early last week, so I think we're okay. But we did sit the kids down around the kitchen table and have a discussion about we don't know how long this will last or anything like that. So let's keep our wits about us. Let's be sensible. Let's stay healthy. Do all the things that we need to do to keep from driving each other nuts in this period of time. How about you? What are you looking at up there?
Pretty much the same. My boys have been out of school since they were out Friday, and they start the e-learning thing tomorrow. They're at school right now getting their books together. So, yeah, just like everybody else, getting ready to gear up for the long haul.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
I guess I
understand what they're going for here. We don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system with sick people. But gosh, there's going to be a lot to sort out just on the education side alone after all this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much the schools are going to be able to keep up over the next several weeks with e-learning and how they're able to catch up once they are back in the classroom. But only time will tell at this point. What else is going on in the news, Davis?
Well, John, the Federal Reserve surprised market watchers over the weekend, lowering rates to near zero while reintroducing the bond buying program it once used to combat the financial crisis nearly a decade ago.
That didn't work terribly well, did it?
Yeah, no. The Fed also reduced the cost of its overnight lending for U.S. banks and will expand its facilities to lend dollars to other central banks around the world. The FOMC decided to cut interest rates back to the financial crisis era range of 0% to 0.25%. It also decided to buy $500 billion of treasuries and $200 billion of mortgage-backed securities over the coming months. A statement noted that, quote, the coronavirus has harmed communities and disrupted economic activity in many countries, including the U.S. Global financial conditions have also been significantly affected. So headed toward 0% interest rates here from the Fed. And like you said, the market's still tanked.
Yeah, down about almost 2,200 points almost immediately, triggering that circuit breaker again early this morning. We'll see if that plunge slows down once they reopen trading again.
President Trump held a conference call on Sunday with U.S. food company executives to discuss aspects of the food supply chain in relation to the coronavirus outbreak. A White House spokesperson said, quote, the companies are working hand in hand with the federal government as well as state and local leaders to ensure food and essentials are constantly available. John, the president also held discussions about ensuring adequate farm inputs so that they are readily available ahead of spring planting. He's talking about seed and fertilizer, although my sense is that most dealers have already resupplied and do have ample supplies on hand, at least of fertilizer and seed, for the coming plant season. John?
Yeah, and you've been on top of this. Sonia Begeman on the agweb.com site has been on this and talking to suppliers on various inputs and really hearing nothing yet indicating any concern.
Yep. And we haven't seen any price response either. Usually when you've got shortages or dealers are concerned, you see a price response. And our fertilizer prices, at least as of last week, were still well below a year ago. Politico reports that efforts are underway to set up a meeting this week between President Trump, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler, and biofuel supporters and refiners on the 10th Circuit ruling and whether or not to appeal it. And this could have some implications for small refinery waivers and the RFS going forward.
Yeah, do you think they really get everybody to agree on something? I mean, both sides are pretty well entrenched. Yeah, you know, we've talked about this on and on and on here on AgriTalk and elsewhere. There's just no way of getting everybody to agree on a path forward on this.
Yep, agreed. Well, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Sunday discussions have already begun regarding additional coronavirus legislation, including efforts to shore up the economy and small businesses, as well as supporting the healthcare industry. And let me just hit these markets this morning just real quick, John. We've got livestock futures under hefty pressure. Most cattle and hog contracts are limit down. Corn, soybeans, and wheat are moderately lower. Crude oil and heating oil futures face continuing declines. Let me pull up my markets here. Yeah, I've got December corn down 4 cents, but the May contract is down 9. Soybeans down 10 to 12 cents. On your wheat side, around a dime lower. The spring wheat, however, is only down about 2 cents. John.
Wow. Okay. Hey, you're going to be able to stick around a little bit and join in the conversations with Congressman Graves and also AEM?
I'd be glad to.
Excellent. We'll talk to you more in a little bit. Let's bring in now Michael Clark from BAM WX. You got any good news for us today, Michael?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, sorry about that. How you doing?
Good. What's the weather got for us for this week?
Well, I'll tell you what. We got some heavy rain working in that'll be across portions of Missouri, southern Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. It'll be a heavy rain event here Wednesday into Thursday. Some places still 1 to locally 3 inches of rain is on the table. So a heavy rain event. But another story that's interesting is the northern plains, the upper Midwest, has been very dry. The forecast continues to look dry even out to the next 2 weeks. So we do want to keep an eye on just the drier conditions that have seemed to kind of somewhat start to surface here. You're looking at 60-day percent of normal rainfall numbers, around 25% for the Dakotas and Minnesota. So we'll want to watch that as well.
Back to this rain event, the western part of that band you talked about still has some pretty saturated soils. Is this rain going to be enough to cause some flooding concern?
I think there can be some minor flooding.
No, I think we just lost Michael.
We just lost Mike. Some minor flooding is possible.
Some minor flooding is possible. Okay. Anything else we need to keep our eyes open for the rest of this week?
No, that's about it. Maybe some snow in the upper Midwest, but not much. Maybe a couple of inches, 3 or 5 inches, but nothing too big to be concerned about right now.
All right, thanks. That's Michael Clark from BAM WX with our usual Monday weather update. Coming up next, Representative Sam Graves from Missouri's 6th District. We're going to talk about some of those water and flooding issues that they continue to have in the Missouri River Basin. As you may remember, they had a lot of levees breached last year. They are working hard to build those levees up. Oh, excuse me. Machine Repeat is next. I'm looking at the wrong schedule. Machine Repeat is up next. We're going to talk about how coronavirus is impacting auctions. And auction prices still very strong in the last week. We'll talk about that next on AgriTalk.
2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hey, Ross. Well, last week we talked about Syngenta's commitment to new products, but what else does Syngenta offer in the way of seed care?
As the number one seed treatment provider in the world, we understand that having great products is only part of a winning equation. We also need to offer the best customer service when it comes to accurately using and stewarding those treatments in the field. As a result, we have dedicated seed care sales and technical support teams who work directly with their resellers and local markets to make sure they can help growers extract the greatest value from our products.
Thanks, Ross. For more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
Julie Edmonds is from Sperry, Iowa.
When you farm, you always want yields to be just that much better. But with the year that we had, they were worried, they were concerned, we all were, as far as what those yields might be. But they've been nicely surprised that they have some very good yields that they're working with. Olivo is important this year because of, especially when the soybeans went in early, and then the weather was not cooperating whatsoever, so the beans sat there. Basically, it's almost as if they stalled. So it was a good 2 to 3 weeks before we had sustainable emergence that we could really count on and know that the plants were healthy and going to get through the cold, wet snap that we had. So I'm very confident that Olivo helped sustain those plants through that. I don't know that you want to be going with something that's not as proven as Olivo with something that's as important as your finances and your yield.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Olivo is a registered trademark of BASF. All rights reserved.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm John Harris, Farm Journal News Director, sitting in for the vacationing Chip Flory, along with Davis Michelson, still here.
Hello.
In his COVID-19 bunker.
Yes. Actually, I'm at the office today. I've braved the elements to get to the office in favor of a solid internet connection.
Indeed, and you're probably about the only person there.
Brian Grady's here. I've got Joe May, marketing director. I've got Megan Vick. We're all fairly sequestered, though, in our little cubicles, our hamster cage-like offices. So I think we'll be
at least 6 feet apart.
That's right, at least.
All right. Well, and also 6 feet apart from us is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
All right, so you've got some information on how the coronavirus outbreak is impacting auctions so far. We're going to get to that in a minute, but first let's hit on some positive news. You've got stuff on a couple of records being broken over the past week. Let's start with your pick of the week.
Yeah, pick of the week, John. We go Saturday, just up the road from me, about 30 miles to Kenyon, Minnesota. My good friends at Maring Auction Company, Matt and Kevin and Adam, had their spring sale, and always a huge event up there. And one of the lead tractors on the sale was a 1992 John Deere 4255 two-wheel drive. You maybe caught the blog I wrote on this, folks, Saturday night. But this thing, 1,260 hours on it, one owner, power shift, went for $77,000.
Wow.
Now, I thought that it could be a hot one, and you know what I did Saturday, I went in when I got the price, and I looked, and that's a record, folks, by $5,000. The previous high I saw was $72,000. If you've been with me for a while, you might remember a sale, I think, from Fredericksburg, Iowa, March 26, 2011. It was the very last 4255 made, a two-wheel drive with like 1,850 hours on it, and that brought $72,000. Again, that was 9 years ago. So what was interesting on the sale, John, Saturday, of course, this last week unfolded day by day is just unbelievable, especially since Wednesday. Things were changing so fast. So I was really interested, one, you know, on the pricing. I've been tracking that every day for 30-plus years. But two, also on the crowds at the events. Now, there's a lot of layers to this. I'll be posting a blog and a new podcast episode talking about this. But Matt Mehring, my friend there, told me, I just said, Matt, no, how was the crowd Saturday? So they had almost 900 on-site bidders. Just no, that's
really?
Bidders. So that's, you know, but again, like a good friend of mine told me this week, we have to timestamp our decisions by the hour. So Saturday morning, you know, you're deciding to go to the sale Friday night, whatever, and it's, you know, it's just things have been changing so fast. But what's so interesting, Matt, great guy, one of the best auctioneers in the country, super guy. You know, we were talking about the 4255, and he said, Pete, we did something Saturday. He said, I don't even know why we did it, but he called the VFW Color Guard from Kenyon, and they came out to present colors before the auction event Saturday morning in Kenyon, and they sang the national anthem.
Hmm.
And I thought, that reality, you know, we're all struggling. What can I do? And it's, you know, we have to make our own decisions and absorb all this information. And now, last night, again, changing by the hour, but when the CDC came out and with their at least advisory, as I read it, now saying the next 8 weeks with, you know, events with no more than 50 people, of course, I'm thinking, well, shoot, what is this going to do to the auction scene?
Right.
Now, if you read that whole CDC statement, and it's not, it defers to the state guidelines and also local guidelines, so it's fuzzy, and that's, you know, the problem we're all having is, what, you know, what's the deal here? But it does say there's a business clause in there that says, you know, it gives access, or I don't know the right word to say, but for business events. So I've only seen one auction company so far around the country that has come out and said, we're postponing all our upcoming sales. And that's a auction company out of Kansas, Elston Auctions. I'm on their email list, and last night I saw it, and it just said, for the foreseeable future, we're postponing. Now, they don't have a ton of machinery sales, a lot of household, a great auction company, a lot of real estate. But online bidding is such a huge piece now that, you know, Matt Mehring told me on the sale Saturday, they had 556 online bidders. And if folks followed last week, my friends at Sullivan Auctioneers came out on Thursday as things were changing fast. And they made an announcement. We did a YouTube video on it that said, for the foreseeable future, we're waiving all internet bidding fees, which is a very significant thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, it's day by day here. And the thing is, we're right in the middle of the busiest auction time of the year. Saturday, the two Saturdays around St. Paddy's Day, either side. For 30 years I've been doing this, have always been the busiest times. And price-wise, Saturday, across the country, it's the same trend we saw. If it's good condition, you know, prices are, you know, like that 4255, 77K. I mean, it speaks for itself. So we're just watching it day by day, John.
Now, you bring up a good point. There may be some people out there now that may be forced to go online bidding for the first time. I know a lot of guys out there really want to see, get a firsthand look at the equipment before they place a bid. They may not have that option in the near future. So what are your tips for folks who may be going to online bidding for the first time?
Well, it's the same thing. We're over 10 years into this now. We've watched sites like Big Iron develop, Auction Time, and all the individual auctioneers having their own online auctions. And it's the same deal. Get as much information as you can. Now, what we are, I have been saying for a couple of years now, if you're selling, and this really applies if you're selling privately or at auction, or really if you're a retail dealer, but what we need is we have to personalize the event and the equipment more than we have been, rather than just plunk out a sale bill and say, hey, we got a sale next Thursday. That was okay. It's not good enough now. So now our auction friends, if you can just shoot a little cell phone video, doesn't have to be Hollywood, just pan the list of equipment and pick the two items on this. Maybe there's a 5-year-old combine or a 2-year-old planter, and just pause there and say, John bought this at SEMA Equipment 2 years ago. It's a 16-year-old 30-inch, got 5,200 acres on it. It's got loaded, blah, 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 whatever. And then you got to get that video out. So I'm holding my hand up here saying, hey, this is what we do. We help publicize things. So same deal if for sale by owner. You got something for sale, list it on machinerypete.com, but then send me a little video on it. Stand by it and say, hey, Pete, this is my H&S 7+4 Forge Wagon. I bought this thing 8 years ago. Just personalize it. So I think on the auction side, again, the good news is that online bidding has been around long enough. The tricky part will be for any auction firms that don't utilize online bidding, because that's not good right now. You have to have online bidding. It's just a must. You just have to.
All right, a couple minutes we got left. I want to make sure we mention another record that you saw last Wednesday. Highest auction price ever on a tractor. What's the story there?
Yeah, highest auction price ever, modern tractor. It was an Auction Time online sale. My friends Alex Kerr with Alex Kerr Tillage in Mount Sterling, Illinois, had a 2016 John Deere 9620 RX, 1,002 hours on it. I think the word on it is this came from a Case dealer. I don't know if it was off lease or maybe off lease or something. But anyway, it sold for $385,200.
Wow.
Strictly online auction. Now, Alex told, I posted a story on this on Wednesday or Thursday, but you can go read it on machinerypete.com, folks. But Alex told me they're watching the bidding, and he said it looked like it was done at 3:30. I thought, well, that's the ballpark. Geez, I wish it would have higher, but that's not bad. And then boop, 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 shoo, 385.2, and that's on a 4-year-old tractor. So, again, what that's a reflection of is the cost of new is so high that the good condition used, even though 385 is a hell of a check to write, compared to a new one, it's still pretty attractive. And that was Wednesday. That was the day everything started breaking. So it's a fascinating time. Where I'll just follow along at machinerypete.com, folks, or our Facebook, YouTube. And again, I'll have a podcast out next couple of days, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll be talking about the virus and online bidding and what's happening. So stay tuned for more.
Yeah, that's a great place to go also, machinerypete.com, to keep up to date on some of those changes. Like you mentioned, the Ritchie brothers waiving the online bidding fees. If any auction houses go to online only.
Yeah, and again, Ritchie brothers is advising online bidding. It was Sullivan's that waived the fee, but again,
I'm sorry,
so fluid. Yeah, it's just hang in there, folks, and we'll get through it. And we'll try to keep you up to date what's happening out there.
All right, so keep watching machinerypete.com for the latest updates in those changes. Greg, great talking with you again.
Yeah, you too, John. Take care, guys.
All right, that's Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. When we come back, it's Congressman Sam Graves talking about those levy issues.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And that expert is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, pretty much read across the board today, and I can pretty much assume what's driving it.
Yeah, another rough start here to this trading week, John. And you know, it all kind of starts, well, it all starts with coronavirus fears. That's the driver, remains the driver and will remain the driver and for the foreseeable future in all likelihood. But we look to the stock market, it's under heavy pressure again. Despite the emergency moves by the Fed and other central banks over the weekend, and so just not calming investor fears. And when investor fears are an upheaval like they are right now, we see days like today, and that's spilling over into the grain and soy markets, trading on session lows. Corn is down anywhere from about 5 to 9 cents. Soybeans 10 to 12 cents lower. The wheat market, it's about in that same range, about 10 to 12 cents in the winter wheat markets and a little bit less in spring wheat futures.
And on the livestock side, down sharply as well, even though cattle had been a little safe from that up until today.
Well, the cattle market, it continues to take it on the chin here. Sharply lower to limit down. We do have the June contract trading, the expanded limits, 450 lower. Feeder cattle, their limit lower across the board, basically. And then the hog market as well, testing those expanded limits there of $4.50 in the summer month contracts. We do have the April contract trading. And some of the FAR deferred contracts are trading, but for the most part, we're seeing limit down trade in the livestock market so far this morning.
All right, so another day to keep closely tied to ProFarmer.com for the latest updates. Thanks, Brian.
You betcha.
All right, that's ProFarmer editor Brian Grady with our markets update.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Weathering the Storm, a special report focusing on Mother Nature's potential impact on the 2020 growing season, is coming to Ag Day, U.S. Farm Report, and AgriTalk later this month. Brought to you by Pivot BioProven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that stay put, weather or not.
Davis, I think producer Joe has been took that weather forecast from BAMWX a little bit to heart this morning.
He may have, with a little help from BJ Thomas, but you know, at least now we've got a song stuck in our head.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be there for the rest of the day now. Unfortunately, the rain isn't here quite yet. And one person very glad for that is Congressman Sam Graves from Missouri. Congressman, welcome back to AgriTalk. First, can you give us an update of where things stand with the levee system in your district? I know it was a hard spring last spring, and there are lingering issues there. What is the latest on the levee system?
Well, we've still got a lot of breaches, and we have a lot of places, though, too, that are only partially repaired. I know they're working hard to close as many of those up as possible. But, you know, it just comes down to equipment and, you know, and finding the dirt to fill some of those holes. And there's still going to be, unfortunately, there's still going to be some breaches, or at least partial breaches, come planting time.
But even those ones that have fixed, there is a paperwork problem for growers in your area. Can you explain what that is?
Well, if you're referring to the RMA.
RMA, yeah.
So I've been writing the RMA pretty hard, and I sent a letter to them. That's management agency, and I sent a letter to them just last month. And what I was basically pushing them to make a decision on how they're going to deal with farmers when planting time comes, when it comes to that planting deadline or the certification deadline, you know, how they're going to manage that risk, or they're going to determine what the risk is. I don't want to see farmers hit the highest level of risk in terms of having to pay out, so much crop insurance. So the good news is the RMA, they came out, they published a release that basically stated that if counties have levees that are temporarily or partially repaired before that closing date, and if the parishes are certified by the Corps, then the premium rate's going to be they're going to be able to adjust it. If a farmer is trying to get crop in the field, or if they plant after that date or after the certification date, then basically what the RMA is going to do is ask them to submit a request, and they will deal with that on a case-by-case basis. So that's good news, at least for all the counties of Missouri affected on both the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers. And we're going to be working pretty hard to work with farmers and the RMA to make sure that this gets done and we have some protections.
Yeah, because before this action, correct me if I'm wrong, but the levee work could be done or substantially done, but if it wasn't certified, those growers protected by that levee would still have to pay the higher crop insurance rate.
That's right, and so this is going to take care of that, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire on it, and make sure that they follow through. In some cases, it will be a case by case basis if those levees don't have any repair work on them, and farmers choose to go ahead and try to plant. But in most cases, it's not going to be that. They're going to get certification from the Corps of Engineers that the levees, even if they're just partially repaired, and then they'll make the determination after that on a large scale basis for those areas.
Does the Corps have the manpower in place to do those individual certifications before planting?
Well, that's another aspect. We think they do. They seem to think that they do. But it's something that we're obviously going to push for as well, and we need to make darn sure that we're prepared for that. You know, we're still, a couple of months away from that, and we need to make sure that they're ready to handle that. And there's still a lot of repair work, too, between now and then as well. Of course, a lot of that depends on what the spring rains are going to look like, but there's still a lot of repair work that can be done.
Yeah, as you note, as this spring is going to probably make or break a lot of that work, and so far the forecasts do not look like they're in your favor. What is that going to mean for growers in your area if we do have another spring that is in any way similar to 2019?
Well, it's obviously going to delay things, and we may see some late planted crops. Depending on what the rain forecast or what the rains are like up north and how high the rivers are going to be running is obviously another aspect of that we have to be concerned about. But if we have another spring like we had last year, it's obviously going to delay things. And it's going to, not only is it going to delay planting, but it's going to delay repair work on those levees as well.
Yeah, and again, we asked about the manpower available to handle the paperwork. What about the repair work? Have you been satisfied with the pace of that repair work?
Well, it depends on the area, to be quite honest with you. In many counties, we've seen a tremendous amount of repair work that's happening and moving forward. The Omaha office seems to be a little bit more responsive right now than the Kansas City office does. And over on the Mississippi side, Rock Island and St. Louis is who we're working with over there for, Lewis, Clark, Marion, Pike counties. And, it's different everywhere. But some areas, though, we still have breaches that are just simply wide open. And some of those holes, some of those areas we're trying to determine if you know, what's going to happen in terms of can we fill those holes or we just need to move the levee altogether. And that obviously takes some time. But so it's really, to be honest with you, it's county by county. Some counties, there's a lot of work getting done. In some counties, we're still way behind.
Yeah, do you have any accounting at this point of how much acreage is still at risk from those breaches?
I don't have an accurate count, but there's a lot of acreage that's still, at risk. And if the river comes up, that water's going to come right back in and create a lot of problems. And we have to remember, too, that this is a system. And farmers on the river, they know this, but this is a system. So you can't, just because the levee's filled, on your particular farm, the water can come from behind or from another breach and still flood. So, we have to think in terms of a system, and that includes the interior drainage as well. The rivers that are flowing into the Mississippi and the Missouri, if the levees aren't fixed on those, then the water can come back in, the backside. So it's a system, and we have to think of it that way.
And fortunately, we have seen reports that upstream there is a little more capacity to take in some of the moisture this year, so they won't necessarily at this point have to do some of the releases that they've done in previous years.
Yeah, and that's been a little bit of a dilemma as well. I've heard people upset because the Corps isn't releasing enough water. The problem is if they release too much water, then we can't get to those levee breaches to be able to close them out. So it's a bit of a catch-21. And I know they're trying to manage it in such a way that we're able to continue to get some of those breaches taken care of, particularly farther up north, and still get some capacity in there, but it's looking a little bit better. It's just so hard to tell, as we all know. Mother Nature is extraordinarily unpredictable when it comes to rain, and we just hope for the best this spring, but it's going to be it's going to be a tough spring for many.
Davis Michelson here. I guess my mind goes to the soil nutrition with a lot of water flowing through some key farmland area there. There's going to need to be some of that replenished here. Can you speak to soil nutrition, maybe where we're at? Is there adequate fertilizer available in your area, or are you aware of any problems there necessarily?
No, I'm not aware of any problems, and I'm not too concerned about, I'm more concerned about the timeliness of it rather than, having N, P, and K that is readily available. Some of those areas are still pretty wet, so you can't get in and put any anhydrous on. Right. A lot of those farmers are going to have to wait and spread it, broadcast it over the top. But I'm not as concerned about the availability as I am about the timeliness.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Hey, Congressman, just a couple minutes we have left. We can talk about the news that's everywhere today, and that is COVID-19 and the coronavirus. The House has now passed a relief package. Do you think that'll be pretty easily moved through the Senate today?
It should be. I don't foresee any real problems. I think we had a technical mistake in the House version, and that was fixed through unanimous consent. And then it should move through the Senate pretty quickly. It got overwhelming support, obviously, in the House, and I think we'll see that in the Senate as well. And the president, he's poised to sign it very quickly. So we should see that, very quickly.
Right, and House on recess now. What is going to be your focus on these issues as you're back in the district?
Well, the biggest thing is obviously following what's happening in my district and in the state when it comes to corona. And, that's obviously on everybody's minds. What concerns me as much as anything else are the small businesses right now that are suffering. A lot of people have just chosen to stay at home, and that's out of caution. And obviously what is being recommended, if you don't have to go out, but it's really hurting a tremendous amount of small business out there, particularly service-based businesses. And so we're going to be trying to, assess just how bad that is. And and what can be done possibly to help. I know lenders are actually looking at some ideas themselves that would be on a private basis, but this is going to have a huge impact when it comes to small businesses and that depend on people and people coming through their and doing business with them. So that's probably got me more concerned, and that's what I'm going to be focusing on over the break.
All right. Congressman Sam Graves, thanks so much.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn to optimize performance in all engines.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Protect diesel engines with premium Cenex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Cenex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Cenex is a brand of CHS.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Les Monroe is from Macon, Missouri.
I'm a big believer in Olivo. I love the product. We use it on almost all the soybeans we treat. It helped reduce the SDS as well this year. We didn't see a lot of SDS pressure in places, but the hidden robber, which is soybean cyst nematodes, I like the control of that. So performance-wise, it's been very good. Some of our early planted beans came out of the ground, done very well. We've had some very good performance on those. And surprisingly, the latter planted beans are still going in the 50s in some areas, some much more than that in places. We've got beans that are some field averages in the 70s and 80s. Overall, most of those fields that I'm discussing had Alevo on them, so it did help against soybean cyst nematodes and everything as far as root health below the soil line, as well as SDS pressures. I would recommend Alevo to everyone first. It's going to pay for itself every year.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Alevo is a registered trademark of BASF, all rights reserved.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number two diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number two. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Maxtron Synthetic Blend Diesel Engine Oil provides increased engine protection under severe farming conditions.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. John Harris, Farm Journal News Director in for vacationing Chip Flory, along with Davis Michelson. And Davis,
yep.
A couple more developments in the coronavirus issue. Ooh. The U.S. Supreme Court, while we've been on the air, has announced that they are going to hold off on oral arguments for the next several weeks. And also just got a notice that Indiana and Michigan are telling restaurants and bars they cannot do any dine-in options, delivery and curbside only.
Okay. All right.
So it continues.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's bring in Stephanie C., who is with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Talk about right to repair. Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
From your perspective, and you've done some studying on this, on where farmers are on right to repair and these bills, but from your perspective, What does AEM think of these various bills that are out there seeking to get right to repair in states?
Well, farmers want the right to repair their equipment, and we in the equipment manufacturing industry agree that they should have it. We're actually going a step further, and by the end of this year or the beginning of next year, our equipment manufacturer members have committed to providing repair and diagnostic tools and information to farmers. So we will hopefully help them do their diagnosis or make their diagnosis and repair a little bit easier.
Yeah, and this has been a shift from where some manufacturers have been previously and opening up a bit more and allowing farmers to do more direct work on some of these proprietary systems in farm equipment. But there is still a line, isn't there, where equipment manufacturers do reserve some protection?
Sure. We as manufacturers are committed to providing the diagnostic codes, or also known as the fault codes, that will tell you what's going on with your machine. But we are drawing the line at providing access to the embedded source code. And that's the code that actually controls the computer that runs the machine.
So is the line now that really anything mechanical they will have access to, but anything that is proprietary software, they will not? Is that where the line sits?
Yeah, that's where the line sets. It's proprietary software, but it's also access to the controls that control emissions or safety features in these machines. Those are regulated by federal and in some cases state laws, and so we can't allow access to those.
Now, I know there are some out there that will argue that there are farmers that are also inventors that want to make adjustments to what their equipment can do, and they want access to those issues. And again, this isn't these probably aren't large numbers of farmers, but there are some that like to make those modifications. And can you speak to those concerns about those folks that want to be able to do that?
Allowing access to that embedded source code can open up a lot of risk in terms of risk to the environment, risk to safety, risk to the secondhand equipment market, also risk to data privacy. And so that's why our industry has kind of decided that we're going to draw the line at allowing access to the embedded source code.
Well, I imagine that risk liability will only get greater as we look at more autonomy of these vehicles and more, as you said, data sharing of this equipment.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the equipment's only getting more and more high tech, and there's great benefits to that. But, you know, there's also it also comes with some responsibility on the part of manufacturers to continue to, you know, protect the environment and safety of its users.
So from the perspective of AEM, what do you think growers need to know about these individual right to repair bills that are popping up in states?
I would say that the right to repair legislation goes further than actually addressing repair. We as an industry are going to give farmers, are giving farmers the ability to diagnose and repair their equipment. And these bills are actually not farmer driven. They're driven by other interests, other special interests that really seek access to the embedded code for their own gain.
And really, there are other tech industries that have been tracking this and using the farmer example as a way to push other tech right to repair issues, haven't there?
Yeah, that's correct. The farmer makes a sympathetic victim of this so-called problem. But once we're talking to farmers and we explain our commitment and what they can expect coming on coming online soon, farmers are pretty pleased with what we are committed to doing, what we have done, and they realize that our industries are pretty linked. And so, when farmers succeed, we as equipment manufacturers also succeed.
For any equipment owners that have a concern or a question about access to what they need to repair equipment, where can they find that information?
Their best bet would be to first start with their dealer. We find that our dealers have really strong relationships with their farmer customers, and they have also committed to making sure that farmers have access to these tools and this information. So start with the dealer, and if that doesn't work, you know, reach out to the OEM or to AEM.
All right. Hey, Stephanie C., thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. It's Stephanie C. from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And Davis, I've got to admit, I am hearing about this less and less from growers. I may be wrong, and I'd love to hear if somebody has a different perspective. You can email me, jherath@farmjournal.com, and let me know. But I am not hearing a lot about this anymore. Are you?
Yeah, not a whole lot either. It would be interesting because there could be a little subtext going on here that we're unaware of. So, yeah, absolutely. If you've got something on it, beloved listener, and you can tweet at us at hashtag AgriTalk.
Yeah, let us know. And again, the equipment manufacturers have made some significant changes in how they deal with this. I know there were some definite friction points just a couple of years ago about access to some platforms on this equipment that farmers thought they should have access to. And I think that has been largely addressed. But if it hasn't, please let me know. I want to look at this further.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Davis, it's been good talking with you today. Stay safe in your broadcast bunker there at Pro Farmer.
Absolutely, and you stay safe wherever you're broadcasting from as well, my brother.
The Granger, Indiana broadcast bumper. So, have a good day, everybody.
Some measure success by Italian suits, corner offices, and luxury yachts. Farmers measure success differently. It's breathing fresh country air, taking care of the people you love, and knowing how to measure success in your soybean acres. That's smart. With Credenz soybeans, you get a precise variety bred to fit your acres. And that Credenz variety comes with agronomic expertise and local insights from your BASF team. So plant your sign of success. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard protection plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard protection plans.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.